It's TechBiter Worldwide with Bill Blinn. The latest on programs and policies, helpful hints, and a bit of occasional nonsense. All in more or less plain English.
Podcast number 900 for the 20th of September, 2024. This week, regardless of what software came with your scanner, ViewScan will do a better job, and you'll never have to worry about the scanner being orphaned by outdated drivers. In short circuits, Library Genesis, a source of downloading millions of books, articles, and academic papers, is controversial, to say the least. Let's consider the pros and the cons. I had a can of Stone Brewing's FML Hazy Double IPA recently. Then I looked at the back of the can and learned more about those letters, which in this case mean Fear Movie Lions. Your scanner probably came with drivers and scanner software, either from the manufacturer or from a third party like Silverfast. ViewScan is a better choice, in my opinion. Drivers were once a serious problem for scanner owners who upgraded to a new version of Windows. That's because manufacturers frequently failed to provide new drivers. That's less of a problem now because most drivers created for Windows 8 or later work with Windows 10 and Windows 11, and are likely to work with future versions. If the scanner came with Silverfast and you have a single scanner that you use with a single computer, there's no problem. But if you have multiple scanners or multiple computers, it can be pretty costly because Silverfast is licensed for a single computer scanner pair. I've been a fan of Ed Hamrick's ViewScan for a long time because a single license works with all scanners and computers you own, so long as the scanner is one of more than 7,000 supported models from more than 36 manufacturers, and your computer runs Windows, or Mac OS, or Linux. You are limited to installing ViewScan on no more than 4 computers, but that hardly seems to be a problem. If you are running scanners on more than 4 computers, you're clearly well beyond the normal single license use. I have a professional-grade Epson flatbed scanner, the scanner that's built into a standard Canon multifunction printer, and a scanner that works exclusively with 35mm film and slides. Anyone who's wondering why ViewScan should realize that ViewScan supports a huge array of scanners from many manufacturers, Canon, Epson, HP, and a lot more. ViewScan has an outstanding feature set, including the ability to perform batch scans, color correction and restoration that adjusts colors and restores faded images, support for negative and transparency film scanning, customizations for resolution, color depth, and file formats, and a user interface that ranges from simple new user options to quite complex controls for advanced users. ViewScan saves scanned images in any common format, JPEG, TIFF, PDF, and several more. This flexibility allows users to choose the format that best suits their needs for a specific project. ViewScan is available for multiple operating systems, as I mentioned, Windows, Mac OS, and Linux. That makes it a versatile choice for users of all common platforms. ViewScan offers a free version with limited features, and the paid version is available for a one-time purchase or as a subscription that includes frequent updates so users always have the latest technology. Those who are new to scanning can use ViewScan's basic mode, which hides the advanced controls that can improve scans or ruin them, depending on the user's skills. The basic interface shows only the simplest settings and displays on-screen instructions to guide the user. You'll be guaranteed of acceptable scans. After mastering basic mode, move on to standard mode. It opens some additional options to crop, adjust color, and specify the output type. The on-screen operating instructions still appear. And those who want to get the most out of ViewScan will eventually migrate to the professional mode, but approach it with care. On-screen instructions are gone, and the assumption is that the user knows what each setting does. To master professional mode, pick up a copy of the ViewScan Bible and Scanning Negatives and Slides. These are older books from 2011 and 2007, respectively. Some of ViewScan's menus have changed a bit, and references to hardware are dated. But the books cover resolution, file formats, and workflows, and those have not changed. Users can download ViewScan for free and try it for as long as they want. Instead of limiting the time or features in the trial version, it places a watermark on each scan until it's been registered. ViewScan Basic can be used on just one computer, and it works only with flatbed scanners. Output is limited to JPEG files, and the cost is just $25. ViewScan Standard can be installed on 4 computers and works with document feeders, but not film or slide scanners. It costs $50. The professional version at $100 includes support for additional output formats and film scanners. Keep in mind that the best quality isn't always the best choice. It's essential to match a scan to its intended use. The two extremes are speed and quality. The fastest scan will be low quality. The most accurate and high-resolution scan will take longer, and the resulting files will consume more disk space. Sometimes the best choice will be speed, sometimes the best choice will be accuracy, and most often the best choice will be somewhere between the two extremes. Whatever the best choice is, it should be your choice, not a choice made by or hardwired into the application. ViewScan is the application that should have come with your scanner. For more information, visit Ed Hamrick's website. If you find these podcasts useful, and I hope you do, might you consider a donation? There are no ads here, and support from listeners is the sole source of income. It's easy. Just visit the website and click the donate button near the top of any page. You can make a one-time donation or schedule a repeating donation every month. I thank you. And so does the cat. In short circuits, Library Genesis, commonly known as LibGen, is a kind of lending library that operates in the shadows. It provides free access to books, articles, and academic papers. Millions of books, articles, and academic papers. Copyright laws are generally ignored, so Library Genesis has been quite controversial. Let's examine what's good and what's not so good. College textbooks are astonishingly expensive. A good textbook involves one or more writers, several levels of editing, publication design, and printing. Because textbooks sell in limited quantities, the various costs must be shared among a small number of purchasers. Clearly, all of the people involved in creating the textbooks deserve to be paid. But what about students? College is absurdly expensive in the United States, and some students may find themselves having to choose between paying for rent or food and books. That's where Library Genesis comes in, by allowing students to obtain textbooks without cost. The ethics question is muddled at best. Students do need equitable access to educational resources, and those who have little or no income, especially those in developing countries, may not be able to afford their textbooks. LibGen gives these students the ability to access necessary materials that they might not be able to obtain otherwise. Copyright aside, some materials available on LibGen are already in the public domain or have been released under open access licenses. In those cases, there is no violation of copyright laws, and LibGen is unquestionably a legitimate way to access knowledge. And some who use LibGen argue that the publishing industry prioritizes profit over accessibility, and that using LibGen can be seen as a form of protest against those practices. On the other side, copyright infringement is clearly the primary argument against LibGen, because most textbooks are still under copyright. Downloading and distributing the materials without permission constitutes a clear violation of copyright law. As I said earlier, authors, publishers, and the development team expect and deserve to be compensated for producing educational content, just as they would be for creating any other kind of publication. Authors and publishers are adversely affected by LibGen because they may rely on royalties from textbook sales as a significant part of their income. LibGen users undermine this ability to earn a living from their work, and that raises questions about the fairness and sustainability of academic publishing. And there are also some long-term consequences. Over time, the use of LibGen could result in lower quality books and educational materials. Publishers could limit investments in new textbooks that they know will be widely pirated. Now, there are some alternatives to LibGen. Some colleges and universities are developing and promoting open educational resources that are freely accessible and offer openly licensed educational materials. When these resources are available, the access issue is resolved without copyright infringement. Some academic libraries do offer textbook lending programs or digital access to textbooks. These also provide a low-cost, legal, and ethical way to obtain essential materials, but only when they're available. Advocating for change that would make more educational materials available at a lower cost or no cost is probably the best option long-term to address the needs of everybody. In the meantime, there's LibGen. And there's a link to LibGen on the TechBiter Worldwide website. Sometimes drinking a beer will explain something. Take Stone Brewing's FML Hazy Double IPA. You may think you know what FML means, but you're probably wrong. In this case, it's Fear Movie Lions. Craft beers, and particularly IPAs, have odd names, but what's this all about? The back of the can can give you some clues, if you can read them. Bare aluminum text on a white background is challenging. Here's what it says. There's a 3-meter by 3-meter square in our Richmond, Virginia brewery with these three words painted on it. What three words? Exactly. For the uninitiated, that's what three words. It's a global addressing system to bring locations to the previously unlocatable. Inspired by the positive impact of this system, we decided to name this IPA after a 3-meter square in the brewery where it was created. Check it out! So now when somebody says to you, what three words, you can reply with your own answer. And if it's Fear Movie Lions, we'll see you here. All that text on the back of a beer can. And I used to read the backs of cereal boxes. But back to the name on the front of the can. There's an image of it on the TechBiter Worldwide website. Notice the triple slash in front of the name. // Fear Movie Lions. What three words wants that to be styled with the three slashes and a period between each word? And if you go to the What Three Words website and type in Fear Movie Lions, you'll see the location associated with those three words in a building on Nicholson Street in Richmond, Virginia. What's the point? Why is this important? Is this important? Well, I think it's important, and several big companies seem to agree. Let's say you're waiting for somebody to pick you up at Bicentennial Park in Columbus. The park covers a large area. Are you at the north end by Broad Street or further south near Rich Street? What if you could tell the person who's picking you up that you're at Punk's Beam Crab? That would mean you're on the west side of the intersection of South Civic Center Drive and West Town Street. It's a precise location. This is the kind of information that would help Uber and Lyft drivers, as well as police and fire first responders. It's even more important in rural areas. Roll, Arizona is about as rural as it gets. Roll is east of Yuma. A friend of mine lived there after moving from Los Angeles. When I visited, the route to get to his house took me from I-8 to South Avenue 36 East, then north to Roll Road, Roll Road to County 6th Street, and then South Avenue 38 East into Metropolitan Roll, past the traffic light, onto a series of smaller roads, past the end of the paved roadway, and onto his house. Now let's say I had a car problem in one of these rural areas. I never did, thankfully, but how would I have described my location? I'm northwest of Roll on a small dirt road. Well, that covers hundreds of square miles and lots of dirt roads. But if I said I was at Numb's Bond's Tequila, responders who had access to What Three Words would know that they would find me on South Avenue 39 East, north of East County Road 4th Street. That's information I wouldn't have. It's a challenge to convince businesses to adopt new technologies, but What Three Words seems like a system that should be adopted. Mercedes, Mitsubishi, and Subaru have signed on. Uber and Lyft have not yet. Several emergency service providers use What Three Words. This is one of those startups that I sincerely hope will succeed because they provide what can be a most useful service. Visit the What Three Words website for more information. You'll find a link on the TechBiter Worldwide website. And when you're there, you can also download the app for your phone. Thanks for listening to TechBiter Worldwide. I'm Bill Blinn. There's more on the website, techbiter.com. And if you have a question or a comment, use the contact link you'll find there. Stop by again next week for another session.